on this week's Nonsensible Podcast.
If I were to do it on my own, I would probably like be very broke right now.
Great to be American. Yeah.
100 years ago is not really that long ago.
Yeah.
When you think about it, right? Yeah.
I'll go down with you, Sam. If anything ever happens. Well, when I think of K-pop, I still think of Big Bang.
This is Nonsensible.
You are listening to another episode of Nonsensible with Sam.
Saul.
And our special guests.
DK to KTV.
Hi.
David and Danny back again.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
What's
Danny
up,
Kim.
Guys?
David Kim.
Long time no see.
Long time no see.
You guys aren't related, are you?
No. Okay. We get that a lot,
yeah,
though.
I'm sure you do.
Annoy the fuck out of me.
Yeah.
Because it's like, we've been doing this channel for 4 years, but every single video we get like, I thought you were brothers, or I thought you were a couple. Either or. Yeah.
But don't the Korean last names trace way, 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 way back?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Maybe you are kind of.
Or like 0.0001.
Yeah, maybe. Related. Like.
But you also, they trace back to origins as well. So like,
right.
Like,
it's different.
Are you an Andong Kim, or
right.
I don't know where the Kims are from. There.
Are you Kim?
Yeah.
Kim. Oh yeah, then we're related.
Oh really?
Kinda.
Yeah,
what,
yeah.
What did you ask him? If he's a what Kim?
Kim Hae. That's like a region
down by Busan.
Mm-hmm.
You're Kim Hae as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so technically, if that was the case, I'm not sure what it's like now, but traditionally, you would not have been able to marry each other.
Oh yeah, tradition.
Same surname, same region would eliminate you
from
marriage.
Right.
Yeah.
Same surname, same region. It used to be that you couldn't get married.
Until when? That's wild.
So like relatively
there's
recent.
There's like still going on.
I think
My grandpa asked me not to marry a person with the family name Ho.
Mm-hmm.
What? Why?
Because it goes way back to our ancestors, and apparently this princess from India crossed over to Korea way back then. And married our ancestors, and then there's like this weird family tree. Yeah, blah, blah.
But why doesn't he want you to marry a Ho?
Because I don't know. It's just like a known fact that we're not supposed to. We're not supposed to marry that family name.
Because,
it's like your great grandpa told me.
I don't know. I have no idea. It's something like incest or whatever. Yeah.
It's okay.
Oh,
but that's where it comes from. If you met a girl who had the same surname as you did and was originally from the same region, that would be why legally they wouldn't let you marry, is because you could potentially be cousins.
Right. It's like the Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Because there are so few surnames as well, it's difficult to kind of keep track of you know how the relations are all working,
but it's honestly like it doesn't really matter these days, honestly.
it is kind of like from an outsider's perspective, you know, you've got very few surnames in this country,
right?
So it's kind of like
this whole country,
everybody like, on something,
yeah. It's like, should I really, you know, if I was a Lee, should I be going out with another Lee? I could potentially be like third cousins removed.
Yeah.
And like, I'm Hamilton, and I was growing up, I was like the only Hamilton in the state I lived in.
Mm.
So it's like, there's no, I have no problem with anything, you know, meeting anyone. I'm not going to have an issue with that. But if you're a Kim or a Lee or
like,
a Park,
I guess if you trace it, if you want to trace it. I don't think people want to trace
We
it,
have though. Family books. We
really?
Have books that record those things.
See, this guy
that's so cool.
So like Kim is Kim Hae Kim.
Yeah.
That's like that's our family name that we share.
Yeah.
And that's actually a very commonly sold name.
Mm-hmm.
That was a commonly sold name like 100 years ago. People used to sell names.
Oh, really?
Surnames.
The slaves or the merchants who gained money wanted the, you know, the higher class in society.
They wanted to get out of slavery, so they bought names.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I did not know that.
So, who knows?
Wow.
Doesn't matter though.
Yeah, who cares? They're all dead anyway.
Facts.
100 years ago is like a life and a quarter.
Right.
Isn't that crazy how quickly things
100 years ago is not really that long ago.
Yeah.
When you think about it.
Right.
Yeah. I had a grandma who… Great grandma lived until like 104, so it's her life.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Right?
I turned 43 this year, so it's like, it's not that far off at all.
That's why whenever white people are like being idiots about black people complaining about racism, it's just like,
it's not even 100 years ago.
Yeah. It's like they need to get over it. Like their grandparents saw that with their own eyes.
when you think about it like that,
that's like a person ago.
It's like Australia. Right. Australia is like only 200 and something years old as a country.
That's wild, right?
Like, and it's like we're like, well, we've been around forever, and you're like, no, 200 years is not that long, really.
Yeah,
like 1888 was when Australia was.
Wow.
1888. Maybe
that's not even 200 years.
Not even 200 years. Yeah. 1788. I don't remember. I'm not a very good Australian.
It's good that people still complain about all of the injustices that are occurring, but there have been some vast changes throughout the globe. I mean, America's still dealing with some right now, but if you think about what the world was like 100 years ago,
well, how long ago was the Civil War?
1861, 1865. Check. I'm looking.
You check. That's not that long ago.
Right, right.
Yeah, I hope he gets it wrong.
You do?
And yeah. Then we can put it in the video.
You'll get Diane's checked. What is it?
Civil War, 1861 to 1865.
Wow. True American. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, America.
Thank God.
Yeah.
I was already blushing about not knowing that. Yeah. But I was
right. Feels great to be an American. God damn it. Great to be American. Yeah. 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 Was it like Team America? What was
that?
Oh,
yeah.
Well, that shit was.
Yeah.
I was just embarrassed about not knowing that.
It's
from the creators of South Park.
What?
Team America.
Team America. It's like a movie.
Oh, you're Civil War.
I'm from Australia. Like, we barely know like the names of all the states and cities and shit like that. But it seems like in America, like this is something. Like to know the dates of the Civil War, and you have to know the capital city of each state. It just seems like Americans have so much pride.
Right.
But you don't know geographically where the countries you're at war with right? are on the map.
Yeah, I know, but
you know 1861 to 1865.
That's what I'm saying. Like in Australia, we don't like, it's like whatever. Like history, Australian history, but like we know modern history, we know geography a lot more. But yeah, that's the great thing about America. Yeah.
1861, 1865.
Got that one down. That's good. That's good. DKDK TV. I mentioned in the last episode, we had people reach out to us and have some questions. And I imagine like this is something every day you get people like bombarding you with questions. And
I'm ready for
like, do people reach out to you and ask you about your bias?
Or bias in K-pop.
Like in K-pop. Right. I'm sure you get it all the time. And
I think he gets them a lot.
Yeah, because like I'm more of a fan, but he's like, whatever.
People think I just hate everything. So they don't even ask.
Do you actually like K-pop?
Yeah. I freaking listen to pretty much all the new releases. Uh-huh. Except for that F2020.
Yeah.
From TXT.
That slipped under the radar.
Right.
Yeah, everyone doesn't know that before this interview began… We were just talking about how ridiculous it is that that song is called Low Key 2020. It's literally probably the most trending topic on every SNS site is High Key 2020.
Right. But I listen to pretty much all K-pop that comes out. So I would call myself up. I don't know if I have a specific group that I'm like fanboying, you know. But I enjoy music. I enjoy good music.
What's the… Yeah. To be honest, I'm not hugely into K-pop. I haven't been, but I have two young boys that are infatuated with BTS and TXT at the moment. So I've started to kind of go down the rabbit hole.
Right.
And I'm starting to learn more and more about the artists and listen to the music a lot more. And like, I guess I took it for granted for so long. I mean, there's so much happening out there and there's so much talent, but like for yourselves, is it like it must be difficult to come out and say, you know, I'm a fan of this group because but is it possible to say I like this group and this group? Like I don't know what's, you know, people have expectations of if you're a BTS fan, a lot of them are exclusively BTS fans.
Right.
So I'm going through it at the moment. I kind of like, there's a lot of groups that I'm fans of and I love what they're doing.
We call them multi-stands.
Multi-stands. So, is that something
a word
you
for
can…
It.
So, that's, I don't know. That's the weird part about these K-pop fandoms because, like, it seems very exclusive and there are, like, fan wars going around. Mm. So, like, for example, BTS ARMY and Blackpink Blinks don't have a very good, you know, history.
What are they? What are they? What entails war?
I think it's like, mostly about the records,
right,
or
right.
you know,
record
the
sales,
awards, you know, that kind of stuff. Our artist is better than yours. You know, your songs suck. Blah blah blah. So there's a lot of fan wars going around, and because of those, there's this hostile atmosphere. Among the K-pop fandoms. But at the end, I don't know. Maybe I'm not like that much of an avid, like super invested fan. So like I don't really care about those kind of stuff. So I stan a lot of groups. I'm a BTS ARMY. I love Blackpink. I love Big Bang. I love all Twice, Red Velvet. So yeah, I try to be, you know, as kind as possible, diplomatic as possible. I don't try to like degrade any other group, like, oh, this group sucks, you know?
Yeah.
Like this group is better than that group. That's where the conflicts come.
Does the conflict actually spill out into the real world, or is it just like YouTube comments?
It's not like they're throwing. It's not like West Side Story where they're throwing down on the streets of Seoul.
That's what I'm envisioning. It's like outside of the Line Friend store, just war.
It's like, well, they used to do that.
Yeah,
they used to do that, and also like in this time and era, what's on the internet is actually like really like mentally hits you hard, like physically hits you hard. So these people. That might be relatively very young in their ages. They get really, really offended and hurt by those comments and those fan wars. So I do. So I get affected a lot. And I feel like it's physically and mentally very harsh and painstaking as well.
It seems like, I don't know, this is just my outlook on it. It seems like a lot of that issue though is generally the minority of fans. The majority of fans, would that be fair to say?
I think there's some sort of like, I guess it kind of spreads like a virus. You know what I mean? So say one fan discovers something problematic about a certain person that they don't like. And then it's someone tweets about like, oh, this person says so and so. And
it's
then
like
that gets retweeted. So even if the fans that were, you know, originally like
neutral
about things, they hear about the news and it goes through multiple different sources. So by the time it reaches them, it's like, this guy's racist.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It goes from like, this guy says so-and-so to this guy's racist. So like, it spreads like that. And I think that's how, I would like to think that, you know, it's a small minority, but even that small minority can affect a wide audience.
Because of social media.
Yeah.
You guys think that that's problematic?
No. So I used to think that way. But then, you know, if you think about sports fans, right?
Yeah.
They argue about the stupidest
Ronaldo
or Messi.
Right. Like Ronaldo Messi debate, you know, like, whatever it is. Like LeBron James, is he the GOAT? Like that kind of it's the stupidest debates, but they argue about it for like years on end.
It's crazy.
You go to a pub like
and people fight
and people will get physical about sports, but I guess when you phrase it like that and like I said, for me K-pop is kind of it's a community I've never really been involved in, but I'm starting to get involved with it now, and I can, for me it was like, where does this fandom come from? Why are people so involved and why is it such a big part of their life? But I can start to appreciate it now that I've delved into it. I can see why people get so caught up in it. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, especially with a lot of the groups now, they're interacting online and, you know, they have VLive or they're on Twitter or they're on Instagram. So
they have a lot of content.
Yeah, there's so much content and you can interact with them and it almost feels like you're part of their social circle.
Yeah. Mm.
So I think, what were we talking about?
Well, you're comparing the fandom between sports and K-pop.
Right. So I used to think like, you know, that fandom culture is stupid. But once you think in the context of sports, I think any kind of fandom, you know, once people become invested enough into it, regardless of how, you know, unrelated to real life, the topic at hand is, people will get very enthusiastic and they'll start becoming violent sometimes, be it online or offline. So I think that's just the nature of people in general. It's not just related to K-pop.
One thing to add though, like a lot of people like to talk about like fan wars and, you know, the conflicts between fandoms and those aggressive stuff because like, you know, the news picks that up and a lot of like Western media or whatever media just likes to paint K-pop mm-hmm. fans as those like obsessive fans fighting yeah. with each other for nothing. But at the same time, what the Western media or media in general doesn't pick up is like there's a lot of good positive right. stuff going on among the fandoms as well. Like I feel like 80% of it is like mostly positive. But right. it's, because it's positive, it never catches the news. These fandoms like donate, you know, do fundraisers, do like streaming work. Events, volunteer work and stuff like that. They're just doing amazing work. But because that's good, it doesn't get views.
It nobody doesn't write.
Nobody yeah, cares about right. it. But when they start fighting each other, when right. they're like, you know… insulting and canceling people, the news is like, oh, this is, you know, spicy. So yeah. let's put it on. And that's why it becomes like painted more like that, the fan culture. And
I agree.
I feel like, you know, the media has a big part of it, like portraying it in that way. So
it seems to me like the fandom here in Korea, especially, or maybe even in Asia, is a lot different from what you'd experience in the West.
Right, right. And there's a lot of conflict between the Western fans or I guess international fans in general outside of Asia versus the Korean fans because they have very different values. Mm-hmm. And I think there's different expectations on what the Korean audience expects from their idols versus international audience.
Right.
So for example, dating, you know, like yep. if their idols date…
It's gotta be a secret here.
Right. Here it's like a… end of the world if you get caught. So like I think for here, like a lot of Korean fans, they physically, you know, go to the events that the idols do on a daily basis, like radio shows or whatnot. We have these people called fan sites that follow the idols with the big cameras and yep. take, you know, the photos and the videos and post them online. And they think of that as some sort of, I guess, marketing. It is marketing. It's great marketing. So they feel like they have a share in some of the, I guess, the idol success. Mm-hmm. And I do think, like, obviously the fans make the idol. So that's true. So once they start having that ownership, I think they feel like when they are dating somebody, some of the fans might feel like they're betrayed.
They're being cheated on.
Yeah, essentially. So like, that kind of different environment definitely induces a lot of tension between international fans and Korean fans. And what we do is we try to explain why Korean fans think this way or vice versa.
Well, that's cool. That's right. That might be really interesting to hear.
Right. Because I really hate those conversations where like sometimes, you know, Korean fans might react to a certain news in a certain way. And international fans react in the exact opposite way. And, you know, Korean fans call names to international fans. International fans say like, oh, Korea is like… this, they generalize Korea based off of this segment of the population.
Yeah.
And also they don't understand where these people are coming from. So they don't take into the social context or the historical context of their reactions. So like they just label the Korean fans as closed-minded or dumb or whatever. And personally, I do not like that because it's closing off the dialogue, right? Like yeah. I think we should enjoy K-pop together.
Yeah. Well, is it fair to say it's just a difference in cultural norms? Like in the West, what's culturally accepted is different from what's culturally accepted here in Korea.
Essentially, I think the cultural difference is the biggest factor in different perceptions of fandom culture, I guess, in Korea and Western.
Yeah.
So you guys kind of have to ride that fine line between…
Right.
Obviously, your viewership is going to be…
Mostly international.
Though. Mostly international.
So…
I think we're lucky.
Yeah, we're lucky because… Once Koreans find out about our channel, man…
Oh, we're going down. Yeah. Yeah, so our doomsday is going to be the day that Korean media picks
thankfully, up. Thankfully, no one cares about us right. here.
It's a Korean clean zone. And we're not trying to like belittle Korean fans or whatever, but…
But it is much harsher. You have to be a little more careful.
But because like we're catering to an international audience, of course, obviously our… You know, our… What do you call it? Our nuance is going to be a little bit tilted towards the international audience. We're going to talk about cultural appropriation. And those things, Korean people still don't understand that much. But when we take those sides, Korean people will see us as like, oh, these people are betraying our country. They're selling our country. You know,
we get a lot of those.
Yeah, we get like those single comments. Like these Koreans that understand English, they come and watch our channel. And what are these guys talking about? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so…
But yeah, it is what it is. I think. I feel like I would like to have an opportunity to talk to those Korean fans as well. But I mean, I'm only one person, so I can only make videos in English.
Yeah. I mean, with the current situation, we can't go out and meet crowds of people. But it almost seems like the platform you've set up would work perfectly to having a live audience and, you know, almost having a round table and to be able to communicate.
Right.
You know, well, there's two sides to every story, but to be able to hear both sides of it and have an audience and get that interaction would be, you know, perfect for something like this.
That's what we're ultimately trying to do. That's kind of our mission statement for the channel. We're trying to be the bridge between the Korean culture and the fans and the international fans. And I think a lot of people appreciate our channel for that. But at the end, ironically, we don't want a lot of Koreans on our channel. So that's
This talk is very very calm compared to last episode. It's like a very different tone.
You never know which way it's going to go on this show. Right. Never can tell.
Well, I mean, you kind of got to be politically correct when you're talking about this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
In Korea, right?
So
I'm just kind of shutting up because…
right.
So for you, it's a different…
The thing about Korea is that they are so like… It's very important to be morally very correct. Mm-hmm. You know, like one slight move that's shady, your career goes down. Like 2020 was a worst year for YouTubers. A lot of big YouTubers in Korea, their careers just got eliminated because they were, I don't know, illegally advertising or something.
Yeah.
And that kind of, you know, scrutiny, like it drives YouTube content creators very crazy because like we can't speak our minds, we can't speak freely. And also, I think one other factor about Koreans is that they're driven a lot by nationalism. Mm-hmm. So they have a very strong pride of their own country. So anything that can affect…
Sure Koreans don't watch this.
Well, these are facts.
That's not necessarily a bad thing.
These are facts.
When you do something wrong, you're not only embarrassing you, you're embarrassing your family.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Which I think America could use a little bit of that. You know what I mean?
A little bit of that.
There's wonderful things come out of the whole American idea that like your independence, your identity, personal identity is of the utmost importance and should be celebrated. But there's something cool about the way that…
Right. There are pros and cons, definitely.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's like when you… Like, I was here for the World Cup. Mm-hmm. And going and watching like a sea of red supporting one team. You go to Australia and you go into the stadium. And even when it's the national team playing, it's like the stadium's divided down the middle.
Oh.
Because we're a nation built on immigration.
Right.
People still support their home country even though they're Australian citizens.
Right. Yeah.
So… Like sometimes that national identity, it's great to see from a country that's built on immigration because it's completely different. You don't have that national identity. It's not as strong.
Mm-hmm. Right. But like it becomes very tricky when we talk about, I don't know, maybe like controversial topic. Like the audiences, the international audiences don't have a credible source on those kind of stuff. They don't know the cultural context. So we're just plainly explaining those kind of things. But Korean people find your channel and they're like, why are you making the situation worse? Why are you broadcasting this to the world? I mean, like, there's already CNN, you know, Korean Herald, like, reporting it. But anyways, they come to our channel and they're like, oh, these guys are shaming our country. And that's not what we're doing. We're just trying to, you know, explain what's going on to people who are interested about Korean context and culture. Yeah. So it's really tricky to, you know, tread that line.
I say it to people… I'm starting to say it more often than not, that history is not just the good things that happened. It's also the bad things. Right, and we have to be able to, you know, we can't delete and eliminate all the bad things and talk about the good things.
Yeah.
There are certain places in the world where they like to not talk about the negative things that they've done. And we have to be able to, you know, speak openly about them all. Mm-hmm. And that's how we can change and improve.
Exactly.
We've had a bunch of questions come in for you guys.
Can I go to the restroom real quick?
Oh, no. Please do. Please do.
But we can continue talking. Let's see how he answers without his
Him. Oh, it's going down now. Like, you'll be canceled by the time you're.
All right, let's do it. Let's give this question just to him.
Okay, here's a question that we got that came in. Tell us three things that you appreciate about each other. Now that Danny is out of the room.
The hardest question. If it was vice versa, I would do way better. But
things you don't appreciate about him.
But Okay, I'll try my best. First of all, Danny is very aggressive mm-hmm. in everything. He likes to achieve goals. Yep. He likes to go forward on a lot of stuff. And that's not a trait I have. Mm-hmm. I'm very conservative. I play safe and stuff like that. But because of those kind of traits, I feel like we get a lot of stuff done on our channel. And initially, I couldn't have started my channel without him because I didn't have the courage. Yeah. You know, I was a very, you know, introverted person. I was very afraid, scared to show myself out to the whole world. Mm-hmm. And now I feel like my personality has been affected in a positive way because we, you know, interact and yeah. So that's wow. one thing. That's one thing. Wow.
Complimenting me?
Yeah. So the question was three things you appreciate about each other.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And
I was about to, when you walked in, I was about to be like, did he actually do that?
This is rare. This is a rare moment in our channel.
Wow.
Yeah, you came back yeah. too quickly. We were going like, after we heard them, we were going to be, oh, he talks so much shit about it. Yeah.
Danny did what when he was drunk?
Well, yeah, that's one thing.
Go on.
And second, I think it's mostly on the same line, but because we have totally different thoughts, I can think out of the box. Like, you know, I would definitely think, oh, this is the only way, or this is the only solution or mindset to think about this situation. But he's like, no, actually, I think this could be a possible solution as well. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, is there a person that actually exists thinking in this way?
For example, what?
I don't want to say that example because you're going to get us canceled. But so I think we can agree in that middle point. But if we go a little further than that, that's when their danger zone is. And I don't agree with that territory. But anyways, because of his opinions, I get a fresh view of the world.
What's the third?
The third one? Oh my God, I'm not prepared for this. But let's
say…
I like it.
Let's say he's the… He's the
funny one?
Yeah, the funny one of our channel. Yeah. I'm kind of the boring one. I keep the level, the surface calm. Try to, you know…
Someone has to steady the ship.
Do the damage control, right. Uh-huh. Usually. Right. But yeah, he spices up the stuff. A lot of people like his jokes and stuff. And
I don't know.
I think we like bounce off our personalities. Right. People compare us to yin and yang a lot. So mm-hmm.
Tom and Jerry.
Yeah, Tom and Jerry.
Cheech and Chong.
I like this dynamic that you guys have going on now.
Yeah. So I think that's one of the three points that I appreciate.
Your turn.
Not so easy now. Not sure. The other foot, is it?
Number one, he knows the limit to what people will accept in terms of ideas and free speech.
I know how to read the room.
right.
I have nunchi.
I have no nunchi. Uh-huh. I just go saying whatever the f- I want. So he edits that out. yep. The videos. So he knows.
Thankfully, none of it's done live.
Right.
You know, streaming. Yeah. Right.
So that's one thing. He keeps us safe. Second, I think he's much more business driven. In terms of he's very money conscious. For me, I like to just pursue passion projects.
Yep.
I like to do things that I want to do. Whether or not like it requires a lot of money or a little money, I just do it. So he keeps us in check. And I think if I were to do it on my own, I would probably like be very broke right now. But I'm not as broke. So I'm a little better.
You'd be broke riding around on a girl's bike in Arizona.
Right, exactly.
You paid $40 for it.
Right. So that's one thing. And lastly, I think he's better with people than I am. I'm generally like…
creep?
Well, I don't socialize that much.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's very self-centered. Yeah.
No, I just do my… I like staying at my house. And just
like you're more of a homebody.
Right.
How are you in a band then? Is it a one-man band?
No.
Well, 2020 was a great year to come out with a band.
So there's like a few
you play
times
on Zoom
that I
virtual artists.
A few times I go out every week. One is for DKDK TV and one is for my band. Basically it. And I play guitar at home and you know, that's about it.
I'm a creep.
Right. So I'm like very… I don't like networking. Mm-hmm. I don't like meeting people that much. And he's… I don't think he likes it either, but he just takes the job.
I would say so. I'm more like… More like… I don't friendly. Like network parties friendly, as well. Though. But I'm mm-hmm. like more of a diplomat, I guess.
Right, right.
For our channel. Right, like right. I do stuff I have to do.
Do you think you guys would be better off without each other? Or that you're better off because of each other?
Well, now that we're at year four…
You go first.
No. I there were times when I thought like… Maybe he can take a vacation.
Whoa.
For a month?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
What? There were times that you thought the same probably.
Did I?
Right? But in the end, I feel like if I didn't have David, I probably would have gotten anywhere close to where I am right now. Because mm-hmm. I'd be just home all day.
Yeah. And what about you?
Same goes. I think… Like, I would have half the success I wow. had right now. Because, like, as a lot of people say, I'm not that much of an entertaining personality. So, our channel, a lot of people appreciate our conflicting personalities. And also, yeah, definitely.
So wholesome.
We compliment each other. Oh, wow.
Sweet. The two of you get along so well with each other.
I can sense some tension.
Well, do you have tension?
What with?
Part-time cooks.
Well, he's got a lot of tension.
With Sam?
Leslie actually left Korea.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So what? There's a lot of tension.
So we did, you know, the sign here show.
Oh, I did not know. Sorry.
Yeah. We did the sign here show. And that ended… You know, we went pretty far.
Right.
Second to last. Mm-hmm. And we were the last team to be eliminated before the championship.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And then like a month later, Corona started.
So he had to go home.
He has a family. And it was really difficult. Like… We got a couple of shows off of the TV show and then all concerts
and
festivals and stuff got banned pretty much immediately.
Oh.
I thought this was going to be like the craziest year of my music career ever.
Right.
Because I was on TV.
You guys were going places.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Definitely.
And then Corona happened and he was having a difficult time. Everyone's having a difficult time.
Right.
And so he and his family moved back to America. So that's the reason that I'm working on solo music here.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
We've moved back to the epicenter of it at the moment.
But I think that he's relieved as much as… In a way. Uh-huh. He's mentioned that he's relieved to take some time away from music.
Right.
And I think it's natural to work with… When you work that closely with someone else… You kind of forget who you are.
Yeah. Right.
Being that we're on such a bright and happy note… talking about how much we appreciate each other.
Yeah.
2020 wasn't the greatest year. This is another question that came in. Is there something unexpectedly good that 2020 brought to you guys?
2020.
Did it bring you closer together?
With each other?
No, I don't know. What did you…
It seemed like
we do. Our offline meetings became Zoom calls. So definitely…
That was nice.
Oh, really?
Have to see each other. You like that.
Didn't have to leave the house.
Yeah. Right. You go first.
But I think because of 2020, we had a lot of more time too. Because like we got less gigs as well.
Mm.
And we could focus on more like future plans as well. So we're planning a lot of businesses right now. Actually, there's like three on the table. A clothing shop and our expansion of the channel and stuff like that. So I think 2020 was… I mean, it was a horrible time for a lot of people. But at the same time, it was a time for us to,
think a lot.
Mm-hmm. Think for our next step. So it's like the launching phase. So yeah, in that terms.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm.
Wow. So it's on to bigger and better things then.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in general, it was a shitty year.
Right.
I think we can all agree on that one.
But I mean…
Your YouTube revenue go down as well.
It was pretty much the same. So I feel
some
like…
Some people went down, which I thought sounded counterintuitive.
I think more people are watching the channel though.
That's what I would…
Right?
That's what I
mean, I feel like we're very lucky to be YouTubers in this pandemic situation.
A lot of people… I think a lot of people talked about revenue going down. Mm. What it was advertising. Like it felt like advertising… Companies weren't spending as much money on advertisements because people weren't going out and spending money in general.
Right.
But viewership was going up. Your hits were going up. Generally getting more people are spending time at home.
Mm-hmm.
So even I found myself watching more YouTube than I would generally.
But at the same time, a lot of competitors appear too.
Started popping up.
Yes. Yeah. For example, in Korea, a lot of celebrities started doing YouTube. Every single person started doing YouTube. And people are interested in celebrities more than two random Korean dudes. So we got a lot of competition and we had to share the pie, the viewership.
But
so.
What you've also seen happen in the last year was there's no stage for Korean comedians anymore.
Oh,
right.
Yeah. SBS, NBC, KBS all had a comedy program.
I love Gag Concert.
Gag Concert was the last one to go off air, and that was last year. So KBS. And so the big three, and traditionally what you'd have here in Korea is comedians would be signed to a network.
Right.
Like, and that would be their show, and they'd be on that show performing. All of a sudden, three networks have eliminated their equivalent of SNL. And you have like hundreds of comedians that are out of work.
And they're all doing YouTube now.
So now, YouTube is like the perfect medium for them to try and maintain their lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And for people like yourselves, all of a sudden you've got these comedians
hundreds of funnier, entertaining people. So I guess.
Another question. As creators, obviously you have ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
And this person wants to know, do you have some stories about overcoming slumps as content creators? And what has been your best work or achievement so far?
I think Danny can say about that.
Well, typically, what I do whenever I'm in a slump, usually those slumps come when I'm like canceled hardcore by Twitter and the internet.
How bad does it get?
Oh,
it's not how bad. He even trended a whole BTS song.
So this is how bad it got. Last year, 2 years ago, in 2019, in the summer, there was this podcast. Oh, shit.
let's not get into too much of the details.
Okay, there was this podcast that people found the phrasing that I said to be questionable.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't anything, like…
leave it there.
But anyway, the word got tossed around, and then eventually, it got blown out. And on Twitter, BTS fans trended a 4-year-old song that was about saying something to the haters.
Mm-hmm.
They charted a 4-year-old song
on iTunes,
30 different countries
because of him.
Singles chart, and for the 3 days. Literally, I was the talk of the town among them. And honestly, what I did…
how did you find out that they charted these?
Because they were bragging about
it. They referenced it.
It was everywhere on Twitter.
Were bragging about it.
There were videos about us.
And then Korean armies obviously found out. And they were making
And your viewership probably went up, right?
It did go up.
But we lost.
I told David, hey, any publicity is good publicity, okay?
But what did you lose?
We lost 40,000 subscribers.
No, 50,000 in a week. Which is, I guess, in retrospect, it's not that much. But because whenever I look up in the internet, people are freaking writing articles about this. On Twitter, it's everywhere. It's about me and how I should go out and die. So it's it's mentally apart from the numbers,
draining.
Just mentally very exhausting and depressing. So in those times, there are multiple cases like that in my YouTube career. And whenever that such a case happens, I just pack up all my get a plane ticket to wherever, and just get out of the country and turn my phone off.
Disappear.
Kind of.
Mentally that must put you in a real hole.
Just
for you it's just to escape.
But it's more about thinking where I want to go from here. Mm-hmm. Because whenever I have those moments, in the end, it's just it's not I said something about, I don't know, something very up racist, it's literally talking about K-pop and it's very it's really nothing that we're making a big fuss about.
If a general person were fandom dynamics,
I know but what I'm saying is in the end it's really questionable whether or not this certain controversy is even a controversy. But were making such a big fuss about it. People are making such a big fuss about it. And I'm getting my career like threatened.
If you've come to terms with it morally, then why don't you just stop reading the comments?
So that's what I did.
That was was unable to do when this occurred.
Oh yeah, this, when
even his friends texted him. What's happening?
If they've made a song trend in 30 whatever countries on iTunes,
maybe you do want to pay attention to that.
It's impossible. That's not just
a comments thing. That sounds like it's Twitter, it's Google, it's almost every portal you get on. There's mention of it.
Right. So that's why, like before that incident. When I saw like these celebrities, trend on Naver about some controversy, I didn't really think much about it. Like I didn't get emotional about it, but like now when I see it, I feel super bad for them because I know what they're going through.
I mean, people just try to brush it off as like, oh, it's their job, it's the price of fame, stuff like that. But in the inside, you know,
like they're only human at the end.
Yeah, you break down really hard, and
usually it's about the stupid. The controversies.
Yeah.
Like if they legit committed a crime, then I think their like response, like reaction to such negativity might be a little less, I might be less hurt. But if it's something so questionable and people are making such a big fuss about it, and it really, brings you down.
It seems like the last year is, especially with cancel culture, it's just kind of… It's just a snowball effect. I think everyone… Because everyone's in a difficult position. Right, and everyone's locked in home. Indoors. And they can't go out and do what they should be doing normally.
Right.
So all of a sudden it's like they're spending more time on the internet.
Right.
And anything to kind of… If anything pops up, everyone's just jumping all over.
Swarming over there. Yeah. Everyone was stressed. And the thing about the cancel culture… Like when Danny gets canceled… Of course I get stressed too about the situation. But the thing that bugs me the most is like… Honestly, like, I was just sitting there doing nothing. Mm-hmm. But people make me a criminal too because like, he works with him. Mm. You know? It's like, it just tells you what kind of person you are if you work with this kind of
person.
And I'm like, hey, I'm a BTS ARMY. I've supported them for like my whole, you know, career. I buy their albums. I love them. I preach about them. And then suddenly I'm this huge anti trying to take them down.
But you came all the way here. Thanks to us being a team. So you go down together as a team. I think that's what happens.
Go down on the sinking ship.
But like on a personal level, I'm just like really stressed because like I was just there and getting splash damage.
Okay.
So. Yeah. So when the Titanic sinks, there's no door for one of you to get on. You're both drowning.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Simple as that.
That's a risk of a team.
I'll go down with you, Sam. If anything ever happens.
I don't know if Sam agrees.
He's like, I'm going to get my rescue lifeboat. Yeah. You know?
He's like, I ain't going down.
I've got a parachute with me at all times. I'm jumping out. Pulling the ripcord. This year, like being that you're on the pulse of what's happening with the Korean wave and K-pop and whatnot, do you see anything big happening this year? Or where do you see the direction of everything going?
Oh, actually, you know, because of Corona, like, I mean, I don't want to say it in a positive way, but inevitably because of the COVID situation, a lot of the concerts and the K-pop culture in general has converted into the online.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are doing online concerts. And because of that, more and more tech is becoming introduced. Like, there is super cool stuff going on, like XR, AR, holograms, you know, multi-cams. There's even virtual idols coming out. Mm. And it's just crazy. Like,
now
there are like avatars that are driven by AI.
Some cyberpunk shit.
In the future, I feel like we're going to all be in the Matrix and, you know, enjoying a K-pop concert. Everyone around the world just physically there.
Or not enjoying a K-pop.
Yeah, maybe. who knows? But definitely because of COVID, you know, the whole atmosphere, the whole culture has changed into that. And it's just amazing to imagine what kind of possibilities might happen in the future in those terms. Yeah.
I got to spend New Year's Eve at home watching Big Hit.
Oh, I watched it too.
Who is William's favorite group?
BTS.
BTS.
Yeah. So it was kind of like you get the option of four cameras. I couldn't work it out. sign this up. I'm like, let's just keep it on
no,
one camera.
The digital divide.
No, it was like, because I had it hooked up to my laptop. Uh-huh. And we're watching it on the TV. I'm like, the laptop's in the kitchen. The TV's, I'm like, I'm not going backwards and forwards. And I'll just stick it on the main camera. We'll just watch it as is. Mm. But even that, they had like Shinichiro came out.
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah,
like the hologram.
Well, I was
hologram
kind
of him
disappointed with that performance, but
really,
I'll keep it to my
like I thought it was cool. Like,
yeah, it was cool.
It's a new step.
Right.
I don't think we've seen the hologram like that. Like, I know in Coachella they had it with Tupac.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But to see it in a Korean concert was kind of cool.
Mm.
Yeah. Soul's just like, I have no idea.
I never know what to say about K-pop. I think I'm proud of it as like some. I consider myself like a Korean.
I think you should do
kind of.
I think you should do an online concert too.
Yeah,
like right now, like this is the perfect time. And
I'm doing a little something like that on Sunday.
Oh really?
It's not going to be live, but yeah. I'm
You should get some high tech, you know, stuff going around.
Yeah. You've got a fan base.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could probably.
The fans that I have are real. You know, I don't have like a million people or anything, but I have people that really look forward to hearing my music.
So you could probably put something. You could do like what do they call it? Like a listening party.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. If you've got a new album coming out, you know, you could do a listening party with your fans or something like that.
I want the numbers to go down so I could have a small listening party. In
what, your numbers of fans to go down?
Right. No, the COVID case.
Sorry.
I was like, viewers to go down.
No, no.
I want my fans to go down.
I'm sick of
fans.
This 87 new followers I have for Nonsensible. Get off my I'm trying to have a live concert here with my core 60 fans.
No. Oh, dear me. Dear me. Here's another question.
Okay.
And I… David said he's Korean on a Q&A recently. I don't know why there's three.
I thought Diane made a typo. That was supposed to be three Koreans.
Did you say Korean?
Korean.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that means what?
Super Korean.
Yeah.
Born and bred and…
that means born in Korea.
Yeah, is that the
enjoy
the
Korean
question?
No.
Okay, I'll get on to that.
On a Q&A recently… So where did he learn his good English? What helped him? And exactly where did they meet to become friends with Danny? Well,
we know all that. Right, Singapore, right?
We know the friends part. The English part was…
Singapore, right?
No, actually.
Before that.
Yeah, because my dad had to study abroad. I had to go to America when I was like 3 years old. So actually, I learned English before Korean. And,
English is your first language.
Yeah, alphabets, A, B, C, D, and all that kind of stuff. So,
bro, your ABCs are fire.
Yeah,
ABC,
damn.
H, I, J, K, L, M, N, P.
Give him a beatbox.
I just lived in America for like 7 years until I was 10. And I came back to Korea, went through that traditional education system, traditional mom. You know,
so that kind of eliminates the Korean a little bit, doesn't it?
But he's very Korean.
Yeah, because
his values.
My values are very Korean. I don't know if you would understand what that means.
He definitely understands.
Oh yeah, of course. But if you watch our channel, everybody understands what I mean, because like his personality is very, in my words, American. Like he's very American, but I'm very
Korean. Live in America. See, like that's why I'm annoyed. I never lived in America in my entire life, but he keeps
you lived here for 2.5 months riding from one coast
Canada.
To the other.
I lived in Canada.
Mm.
And you also like grew out a beard and like, went across the entire that's American.
Exactly.
You got robbed.
That's an American.
That's
road
pretty
trip.
American.
Yeah. I stay home. I go to nice cafes and watch Netflix and anime.
That's very Korean.
You just picked up
on
that?
I just realized what you said. And getting robbed is very American.
That's basically why I'm Korean. Yeah.
But 7 years. So 7 years spent in America learning English. Okay.
Mm.
Yeah.
That explains everything.
Do you have some spicy questions?
Okay. All right, here's the spiciest one.
Yeah, I want some controversial.
He lives for it.
He's addicted to it.
He lives for the comic.
Okay. Mel is Happy asks, in your opinion, who are the top three artists that have made the biggest impact on Korean music?
Oh.
Not limited to K-pop.
Say someone who's not. Get it wrong, real man. Number one has to be
Seo Taiji. Uh-huh. Oh, he's going for the textbook.
No, it's facts.
Okay, okay. I mean, you wanted spicy questions, so I thought you're…
On that note, I actually introduced my wife to… I was listening to some music in the car the other day and she's like, this is sounds familiar. She's like, sounds like Sotaeji. And I'm like, oh yeah, this is Cypress Hill. So, yeah.
I mean, Sotaeji, there's a lot of controversy about it. Like he was influenced heavily by Cypress Hill and, you know, American music at that time. But anyway, Sotaeji, you know, he changed Korean music.
Oh, absolutely.
Period. Yeah. So he's got to be like number one, no question. Number two…
Would it be fair to say Sotaeji was kind of like essentially the first kind of boy band?
Yeah.
Like,
he's the founder of K-pop. Yeah. They're the first K-pop group, period. Second, I don't know, BTS or…
There's two more options. So you can.
I want to say the Wonder Girls.
The Wonder Girls. Okay.
It's a pretty left field choice.
Yeah.
No, no, no.
Why are you laughing?
I can see that too.
I can see that.
Because I think the Wonder Girls were the first legit attempt at…
Crossing over
to America. Mm-hmm. I mean, JYP was very serious.
Yeah.
He spent a lot of money there. So Wonder Girls and then number three, BTS.
Obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they made K-pop what it is now, I guess. Explode.
They've grown out of K-pop. Yeah.
Yeah. To almost label them as K-pop now is… they're almost just pop.
Right.
Like it's… Yeah.
They're just music.
They're just their own genre. Yeah.
You choose your…
I'll choose answers that you haven't gone with.
Okay. So we're going outside the box here.
Right. Well, I'll have to say BTS because like I can't neglect that. So one of the ultimate one is BTS. But I think the first one could be BoA.
BoA. Oh,
yeah. You guys know BoA, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like she was the pioneer of like the first generation of K-pop. Like she made all the roads open to Japan. And like it was the first time K-pop actually got huge overseas. And that brought a lot of frontier spirit to the K-pop industry as a whole. People saw possibility and opportunities overseas. And it's like, oh, non-Koreans can enjoy K-pop music. And that's why I think BoA, like in such a young age, she did it all by herself. And that was just amazing. So I have to give the credit to BoA. Second one, definitely Big Bang. Yeah.
Big Bang.
Everyone knows Big Bang. Like nobody… Like every single Korean in Korea knows a Big Bang song. Their songs were like literally the hits of the centuries.
I really liked Big Bang.
Yeah. Everyone… Yeah. Like this is going to be very controversial. But I definitely think Koreans know more Big Bang songs than any of the other K-pop groups out there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying BTS because like things are changing these days. But definitely Big Bang held an era. Yeah. And every single song they put out was sung by males, females, grandpas, children.
I think K-pop was much more mainstream in those days. Like K-pop idol music.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was much more mainstream in the second generation. Like the Big Bang generation than
in terms
it is
of
now.
Korean public.
It's bigger internationally, but
but it's become much more niche. I think here, so like there's no like, you know, Wonder Girls Tell Me, that was like a national hit, national.
Yeah.
I think there's less of that these days.
Yeah, it's just now for the fans.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
like the general public listen to R&B, hip hop, you know, EDM. Nobody listens to K-pop
anymore. The genres have been so divided up now.
Right.
It's not just K-pop. You've got K-hip-hop.
Right.
You've got,
right.
you know, Korean R&B. Uh-huh. It's so fractured.
Right.
Whereas
right.
then it was more unified,
yeah.
I guess.
Right. Everyone was listening to Big Bang.
Mm.
Like G-Dragon literally experimented with all the genres and stuff like that. So,
were they the first Korean group to perform at Coachella?
No, actually.
I don't know. But there was a lot of artists that performed at Coachella.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know the first, but there was like Hyogo 2 and
Epic High.
Oh, was it?
Epic High, yeah. Yeah, they got canceled.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay,
the
so they were supposed to come back. That was supposed to be their comeback stage, actually.
Mm. Last year. Was that last year?
COVID.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it got canceled.
Everyone was anticipating that, but it got canceled because of COVID. So. And there was that whole controversy going around.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, unfortunately.
So the question goes to you now.
Oh, I'm interested.
What? In?
I'm only f***ing with you.
Yeah.
Three groups.
DJ Soulscape, J Park.
J Park, and, I agree. J Park. Yeah.
Verbal Gent?
Yeah, Verbal Gent. Yeah. I mean, my favorite album, the album that like really got me into Korean rap was Benzino's Shit.
Benzino's my favorite.
But yeah, Jay's crazy. Jay's like on that list of, top 10 most streamed Asian artists too. Yeah. And he's like, as a solo artist, that's huge, right?
I'm kind of disappointed because two groups that could have easily slipped in there that kind of missed. Just for what they've done for the genre, not for the K-pop industry itself. Uh-huh. But Jinushan or Drunken Tiger, I think they were kind of more so than Soteji. Mm-hmm. I think Soteji was more kind of at a pop level.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But for the fracturing of hip-hop and bringing its own genre out, I think Jinushan and Drunken Tiger were definitely at the forefront of that genre.
Uh-huh.
More so, like J-Park is more recent. Mm-hmm. But like,
wants to fight? No, they're just staring him down.
Yeah,
like, what are you talking about?
I'm just listening. I don't know about any of this.
But I think like this.
Yo, you're the hip hop artist here.
Like, yeah.
But it wasn't the question about like K-pop, like Korean music.
Yeah,
but I think that's what I think. I think Danny kind of mentioned it before. Is it's the K-pop environment has changed so drastically.
Right. Right.
From generation to generation, now K-pop is not just it's almost all K-music,
right? Yeah.
But it's all different genres that are individual and in their own because you've got, EDM, EDM artists as well that are Korean. You've got Korean DJs. You can't just call it K-pop really anymore.
Yeah.
What's been interesting for me today, though, is this is probably the most we've ever talked about K-pop on Nonsense.
Really?
Yeah.
You guys don't have artists?
Have we had
K-pop here?
People on? They always don't go on our show, right?
They go on.
Well, they would
show?
Go on the
Daebak show or.
Yeah.
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 Well, have we had a K-pop artist on Nonsense? Obon?
Well, yeah. Korean artist we've had on the show, but I guess in K-pop as.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Park Jun-young.
Oh, right.
I saw that.
Yeah, but we didn't really talk about K-pop that much.
I feel bad not mentioning G.O.D.
Right.
There's so many H.O.T.
Exactly.
Even like Super Junior being the first team to have like 13 members. I remember seeing out the front of KBS and these days everyone has the little carnivals, the Kia carnivals.
Right.
They had like a full bus.
Bus? Yeah. Really?
Yeah, yeah. Like when you've got the back dancers, everything, it's like…
Damn. Yeah.
Back in the day, everything was so different.
Well, when I think of K-pop, I still think of Big Bang.
Yeah.
Like because when I first came here, that was everywhere. Baggy Gaio, all that.
And that's what I think what it is for a lot of people is when did you first come to Korea? When did you first touch down? Or when did you first get influenced by K-pop?
Yeah.
There's that…
That's
the
golden period.
Yeah, that generation is it. First generation, second generation, third generation. Everyone's somewhat different.
Different,
right. Wow. Lots of talking about K-pop.
I guess for you guys, that's an everyday thing. Right. It's part of the job. So
he was having more fun talking about experimenting in the mountains.
The Rockies.
Becoming a fan of craft beer, spiraling. His life spiraling out of control.
I enjoyed the talk still.
Yeah,
I like it. I like talking about K-pop.
We appreciate you coming on the show yet again, Danny and David.
Thank you for having
DK, us. DKTV. Very insightful. And like I mentioned, I don't think… We've never got this deep into K-pop. And for me, like I'd mentioned earlier, getting more into K-pop recently with my boys, it's kind of… You've shown me another side and enlightened me even more with fandom and whatnot. So I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
We're just doing our job.
That's what we're here for.
Have us on your show.
Sure.
DK interviews the guys from Nonsensible.
I would love that.
Fridays for the boys.
That'd be awesome.
Like we said in the last episode, if there's anything you want to plug, now's the time to do it.
We have a new business. that's launching in February, mid-February. It's called Naked Soul. It's a magazine slash online magazine slash web shopping website for small independent Korean brands that deserve to be discovered.
Right. Oh, cool.
Are you both the editors of the magazine?
No, we're like
the founders.
We're the people running the business, and we have editors and videographers on the team.
CEOs,
so,
I guess.
So it's more,
we have a team.
Do you have like actual…
We have
writing, we have pictures, we have…
It's going to be real high quality, so you should really be on it.
I would love to.
Yeah.
Like we're putting thousands of budget on every single, you know…
I gotta go broke soon.
I would love to. I mean, yeah, because it's difficult for me. This is gonna be my first solo project.
Mm. All right.
I need all the help I can get.
All right.
Sure.
You plugging your album again?
Blue is gonna be called Blue. My new album is gonna be called Blue.
It'd be great if Sam appears on it too. Like
anytime.
Your story in Korea, it's amazing. So I think it would be amazing too.
Anytime. You. Reach out. Right. Love to be involved.
He probably costs money though. I'll do that.
Don't say like that. Come on. Danny, David, DK, DKTV, thank you so much for joining us again on Nonsensible. Just want to remind our viewers and listeners, you can find us on Instagram and on the YouTube, Dive Studios. Search for us there. Also, the podcast can be heard on Spotify Podcasts and Apple Podcasts. Any 5-star reviews, we appreciate them all very, very much. 4 stars. Okay, 3 stars, not so good.
4 stars, get out of here.
Yeah. And we'll be back again next week with more. Guys, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
See you all soon.
Good to see you all again.
Bye.